This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Incredibly, we are just 2 days away, 48 hours away from the start of Orioles baseball season, which means the return of Baltimore baseball tonight. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we are joined, as we will be every week, by Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT coverage, Mike Bordick. And Bordy, always great to talk to you. Welcome back for another baseball season. Let's start where we just left off last segment, and that's Grayson Rodriguez, who is now saying it's tricep tendonitis. He's saying he's had it for 3 to 4 years. He's saying it flared up on him, but he's okay, and he just needs to restart spring training. Where are you on Grayson Rodriguez?
Well, thanks for having me back, Ken.
Yes.
I'm excited about this season.
Always great
and
talking to you.
And everybody else, too. Yeah, well, listen, this is more of a red flag than I think anybody, you know, we're having to look at, because he's our young superstar. He's a guy we put a lot of, you know, weight on his shoulders to be this team's number one, and he just continues to have setback after setback. 3 years of tricep tendonitis? I don't know. I to be honest with you, I think they're always going to keep things a little close to their vest, but this is a big concern. And Mike Elias said himself, well, and I don't agree with the way he said this, but he said he's starting at, what, a square zero. So I thought it was square one, but yeah. Square zero.
It's even worse.
It's like a bone thing.
But that, yeah. Exactly. So that means you are starting over, brother, and trying to get it back. And hopefully there are no setbacks along the way. And managing these arm injuries is going to be, you know, something that MLB's got to have to deal with.
So it's now the oldest starting rotation in the majors. And I'm just interested your thoughts on that. That seems a little counterintuitive to how we were kind of built, that this thing was going to be built. And how much grace can you give a Sagano if this is how much money they gave him and this is how they built their rotation? Because I do think it's going to be an adjustment. And if you saw what the Yankees did to him the other night, I think he realized just how pinpoint his control has to be. But like, how steep of a learning curve can you grant him?
Well, it's going to have to be a long one. And really for everybody, listen, there's a lot going on right now with not just the Orioles pitching staff, but across Major mm-hmm. League Baseball. And I just think there's a huge shortage. Now, knowing that, could the Orioles have gone after different $15 million pitchers, like
yeah.
maybe a Scherzer or a Verlander? But they have what they have, and I think they're going to have to deal with that. And let's hope Gibson can help as well. And now I feel the whole league is just a battle of attrition. Is your minor league depth, do you have enough arms that can come up and fill in going to be enough to make it through a whole 162-game season. Listen, they've lost a lot. Let's not forget how many minor league teams were cut recently. They made adjustments to minor league baseball. And now we're coming – I feel like we're having a shortage of players. And it's really – I don't know. I think it has to be addressed for sustainability, for crying out loud.
Bordy, we know Gunnar Henderson. He's going to start the season on the IL. So we've been seeing Jackson Holliday play shortstop a lot recently. And Brandon Hyde's even on record saying that there's some concern him going back to shortstop after second base was new to him last year. Do you think they should just keep Jackson at second base, or are you fine with him at shortstop in the interim?
Well, man, oh man, there are a lot of different ways to look at this.
You're thrilled you came on with us today, aren't you, boy?
Yeah, there are some, you guys got some good questions that could go really deep and down a lot of rabbit holes here. Why would they put Holliday at short if he struggled in the big leagues at second base? The only thing I think is to showcase him a little bit. Now, I'm not saying there's a trade, but just saying, look, he can still play shortstop just in case something comes up. Now, I hope he plays a great shortstop. I really do. But I think what's – unfortunately, if it doesn't work out with Jackson at short, who's playing second? It seems like Westberg could be the second base. So now you got two guys that you're kind of moving around, and wouldn't we like ideally to have them just settle in and learn their position and be great there? So there, I think this is kind of controversial as well. Listen, I hope he does great at shortstop, but – man, can that's a whole different ball game over there. Way different than second base, and his clock was off there at second base.
Well, and Bordy, like, that's the whole thing. He was just starting to figure out, it looked to me, the timing at second base, and that you don't have nearly as much. He had trouble with a AAA, figuring out how much time he had. He really had trouble with it up here, and he seemed to be making progress in that regard. So why, even if it turns out to be the final 3 weeks of spring training and the first 2 weeks of the regular season, and then you expect him to play 120 games for you at second base, why would you focus so much on the short term and not just keep him on the long-term plan that looked like it finally was starting to work?
I agree. I'm right there with you. And I think you have to do that because you don't need another kind of mental kind of setback. Because, man, oh, man, if all of a sudden it snowballs on him, just playing defense in the major leagues is hard enough. We all expect Jackson Holliday to his bat to be really good. But if his defense is unsettled, then that means the bat is not going to follow through. It just takes too much away from you. I mean, you have to be a complete, you know, player, and I think we all expect that. So why even take a chance, I think, of even disrupting it a little bit? Let him get off on the good foot and just keep, you know, moving forward. I think this just adds a little instability, really, to the team. I think everybody hopes for solidified roles and with some bounce-back stuff like this looming, too, because now everybody's wondering, unless Brandon has straight-up told them what their roles are going to be, the first couple weeks is going to be a little bit of a mystery.
We're talking with Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. What about the Felix Bautista part of this
equation?
Yeah,
ask him about the crappy bullpen now,
GG. Yeah, so Felix is
no goats, Bordy. No goat questions, buddy. Yeah. We're bringing the fastballs. High heat.
All meat here, no filler. Felix is making the opening day roster, but it's pretty clear he's not 100%. The velocity has been ticking up, but... He doesn't look like the Felix Bautista pre-Tommy John. He also is not going to pitch more than an inning or pitch on back-to-back days. So what does the closer position look like to you?
Well, I don't think it's going to be him. They might slide him in there every now and then, and just to, you know, keep those competitive juices flowing. This is kind of a high risk, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This morning on the Be More Baseball podcast, thanks
nice.
Very much.
Nice, well done.
Nice plug, Gordon.
Are you sick of Jerry yet?
Be More Ball Pod. Be More Ball Pod on YouTube,
yes.
Anyway.
Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman.
R.I.P.
I talked about Bautista, and I compared him to a closer. Oh, my gosh, why can't I think of his name right now? But he was a great closer.
Oh, we lost him.
That's what happens when you invoke Aloysius.
He hung up on himself. No. I think what happened was Jerry hung up on Bordy because he was about to release Be More podcast prior.
You think Jerry was on like the third line just listening in?
Yeah. He was about to give information.
Like on the group chat, or what do they call that?
That was
where
proprietary.
You have multiple people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was like
he was just sitting there quietly on
mute. He hung up on him, yeah.
Or he might have been sitting right next to Bordy.
I think he felt
he might
like
have been in the backyard feeding Bordy's goats.
Yeah.
While Bordy was talking to us.
He felt like Bordy did enough promoting the podcast, but don't give away the info
right.
from the podcast.
They got to go to the podcast.
I think Jerry would be proud that Mike Bordy slipped that in.
But Gigi's right. And then now the people are like, well, what was he going to say? Yeah. Oh, we've got to go to the podcast to find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless Bordy calls back in. We had these issues with Naki yesterday. Maybe it's us.
It's a phone. Well, it's the, maybe it's cell phone towers. Yeah, his phone. He said he was downtown San Francisco. Yeah. But
well, that explains
the background.
Yeah, he probably just it's always busy on them streets.
Bordy seems much like us, concerned about many things Orioles right
now. Yeah, I think Bordy had enough of the meat questions.
He was sick of being grilled.
Yeah, he wants some filler. But catch Mike Bordick, part of our
we get him back.
Yeah. We'll blow up our clock so we can tell us who he was thinking of.
It's an Oriole Hall of Fame.
He's worth it.
Bordy, we are.
We're going to do this for Jacob Calvin Meyer. I say that because I love him.
Wow. Bordy, who were you referring to? What were you trying to say?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
Was Jerry Aloysius Coleman the one who hung up on when you were giving away too much information?
Right when you got the plug in, Bordy.
I'm not sure about that. So, listen, it was Joe Nathan, the closer for the
twins.
Yes.
He had Tommy John, and he missed a year. And then next year he came back, and his earned run average was like 4.9 or 5, and he was typically like 1.9 below 2 guy. It took him a whole year to become an all-star closer again, and he did, and he pitched into his 40s. Batista's different than Nathan, though. He's a young guy. Took him a little while to harness his command. I just feel like there's got to be a grace period and for us all not to think that the mountain is going to be the mountain this year. Next year, let's hope he truly is. And I hope the Orioles can kind of use him, you know, correctly and keep him healthy all season long. So maybe not be the key in the back end, but at least a big part of the back end.
Well, real quick, they haven't built it that way, have they, though? I mean,
They haven't built it.
Unless the plan is Dominguez gets, 35 save opportunities this year. Good luck with that.
He closed once.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this about Dominguez. His earned run average reminds me of somebody I played with a long time ago, and his name was Bob Welch. Came out of spring training with an earned run average over 20 and ended up winning 27 games. So you never know in this crazy game. Dominguez could be the closer and be an all-star closer at that.
Mike Bordick, you're the best, man.
You,
thank you so much for your time. BBT on Thursday. Are you part of
Friday? Me and Bordy. Me and you, Bordy.
Dream team.
We kick it off, Bordy.
Let's go.
We can't wait. Bordy, thanks, buddy.
It changes by the day now, so make sure you're paying attention to scoring at home, Bordy.
I hear you guys.
We got quite a rotation going.
Hey. Coming up next, we hit all the young dudes, and Jordan Westbrook, another guy that they seem to be jerking around a little bit. Why, oh, why? We discuss next here on The Fan. So we've spent a lot of time talking about Jackson Holliday and him going to shortstop when he seems to have just started to figure out second base, looked much better at second base this spring, but now he's playing shortstop because Gunner's hurt. But the other variable there, you move Jackson to shortstop, and they're also going to move Jordan Westberg to second because they want to put Ramon Urias at third. Except Jordan Westbrook seems to be much more comfortable at third than second. So I ask you, why?
I think Bordy hinted at it. I said it out loud yesterday. I think they're serving themselves. They want to prove that they've got a shortstop. I think they're going to end up doing it at the detriment of their pitching staff and their defense because he's not a shortstop. He hasn't played enough shortstop to be ready for shortstop. He was barely getting ready for second base. But, if they want to, we heard, our buddy Jacob Calvin Meyer say, well, he thinks they want to get Ramon's bat in there. If you love the matchup so much for Ramon, then DH him. You got plenty of DH options.
Yep.
Like, none of it passes my sniff test other than they seized an opportunity to try to prop this kid up and make themselves look good for taking him 1-1 because there is a bit of a bias in the industry about taking a second baseman 1-1.
But you could still play Jordan Westbrook at third with Jackson Holliday at shortstop. You don't have to compound it by moving two guys out of position.
And you look at his baseball savant for outs above average. He's a -8 defensively at second base compared to +5 at third base. That's night and day.
I wouldn't have even. We said in real time, don't do this.
Yeah.
You went out and did the right thing by getting guys who can play major league caliber shortstop. And we can quibble, and we don't know for sure, because it's not that big of a sample size on Levon Soto or Jackson Holliday as a major league shortstop. I would take Soto over him in the field 8 days a week. I'd take him 24 days a week in the field over Jackson Holliday. Not just because of what I think it'll look like now, but because of what I think he can do to Jackson Holliday to once again look less than and not ready for prime time at the major league level. And this would be entirely on them.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have to do it.
No.
They had numerous other options. And do I think it'll mess up Westberg a little bit too? Jordan Westberg's the third baseman. Just let him be a third baseman. I mean,
why not play Ramon at second?
My God, just let him be a third baseman.
Can't Ramon play second? I mean,
not very well, but sure.
Well, as well as Jordan Westberg.
Yeah, and then you could still get Ramon's bat in. None of it makes sense. I think I know why they're doing it.
We did have a poll before we get to the leadoff. O's got rained out Monday, but had Jackson Holliday back at shortstop in the starting lineup. Hasn't started a game at second base since March the 9th and really struggled at shortstop in AAA. And they have been putting Westy at second base instead of third. Does this rub Birdland the wrong way? We hate it. Close to 250 votes. Try Jackson at short, 59%. Just put Soto at shortstop, 41%.
Yeah, I still like, okay, I think we're all in agreement we'd rather have Jackson Holliday at second base. But, I'm buying what, Jason, you're selling about Jackson Holliday. But just if we take Jordan Westberg and put him in a separate bucket, it doesn't make sense to now move him as well.
None of this makes sense to me.
No.
It's all too cute by half.
And then really, like, okay, play Ramon at second base if you need Ramon in the lineup. If you're going to move Jackson out, because I don't want to do that either. But why?
And look, there still is the possibility that Jorge Mateo makes this team. In
yes,
which case,
and he's the shortstop.
Yeah.
Then you get to the question of, we know Gunner's not going to play for at a minimum the first six games. Who knows?
It's
might
gonna
be
more than that.
Who's going to be the leadoff hitter?
You know, I don't hate the Kowser Westberg split. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing is that it seems like the ship has sailed on Cedric Mullins batting leadoff.
Oh no, they're not going to do it. I mean, they're not willing to do it. I would just say, in the second half of last year, he was a far more consistent hitter than Colton Kowser across the board. Now he's not going to have the power, you know, the 2 week jags where he hits 10 home runs like Kowser might. But he got on base better than Kowser. He's a far superior base stealer. He understands being a leadoff guy more than Kowser, and he's just more comfortable in his own skin as a major league player than Colton Kowser.
So he's a veteran, for me, yeah,
I would defer to Mullins, who had one of the, I don't know, 10 to 12 greatest seasons in Orioles history as a leadoff guy. But whatever. If you're going to do Kowser, then there's no way in hell Kowser can lead off against lefties. So you would have to turn this into yet another platoon option. And Jordan Westberg setting the table, I think he gets the assignment completely. I think he's a more professional hitter than Colton Kowser. I think he has fewer holes in his swing. And I think if you made Jordan Westberg and told him, you're going to be our leadoff guy moving forward, righties or lefties, I think he would get on base more. I think his splits, which aren't crazy righty-lefty, you know, he's 309 on base against righties, 319 against lefties. It's not ideal either way. Although, again, it was starting to tick up last year and he was in great form before he got hurt. I think he would understand that assignment and still provide pop out of the leadoff spot. Kowser did a good job there last year. 25 games of leadoff guy, 275, 336, 500 slash line, 839 OPS. He did strike out 36 times and 113 plate appearances a leadoff guy, though. That's, like, I will tell you this, I will be live betting Colton Kowser to strike out against Jose Barrios in the first at-bat of the season.
It was interesting when we asked Jacob Calvin-Meyer about this, was it yesterday? And he didn't say it's the same guy, but Kyle Schwarber, who strikes out a lot as a leadoff man, but he also, and he doesn't get on, he doesn't hit for average, but he walks a lot and hit home runs.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen if Kowser is going to walk all that much. I mean, we'll
he does take a lot of, he works the counts.
He works, he gets into counts. Yes.
But they don't end in walks a lot. He probably sees more pitches than any hitter other than Adley.
Really good job of it his first year. I think it's something he got away from a little bit last year. But no, I mean, I don't hate it. I would have given Cedric Mullins the run to start. And if that didn't work, then I'd have gone to Kowser. But
coming up next here on the program, time for Bounce Back, Fall Back. Remember, Walt Williams is joining us coming up at 4 o'clock. Get all our Terps info from the Wizards, the Wizard at 4. But Bounce Back, Fall Back, Bone Ask Us Dumb Questions, we answer next year.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
We got a lot to work through from last week. North Carolina covers the 4.5-point spread against San Diego State. They did. Both you guys bounce back. American covers the 2.5-point spread against Mount St. Mary's. They did not. Both you guys fell back. Purdue.
We both said the Mount would win.
Yeah.
Yes. Purdue, 8.5-point spread against High Point. They did cover that, 75-63. Both you guys fell back.
Home cooking.
BYU, 3.5-point favorite against VCU. They covered that, 80-71. Both you guys bounced back. Gonzaga, 5.5 over Georgia. They covered that. Both you guys bounced back. Kansas, 4.5-point favorite against Arkansas. They lost. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said Arkansas, live dog. UCLA, 5.5-point spread against Utah State. They cover that and then some. Both you guys fell back there. Michigan, 2.5-point favorite over UC San Diego. Jason, you said UC San Diego would win by more than 2 possessions. Can you bounce back? And Michigan covered barely, 68-65.
Shady beeswax.
Maryland averages 6 most first half scoring in the country this season at just over 40 points. They start the game fast. This was Grand Canyon with a 40-point half. They did 42 points. Can you bounce back? Jason, you fell back. You said 38-30 Maryland. Willard will still be coaching at half, which I guess that part was right.
Well,
I don't think he had any points, but yeah. Derek Queen or Julian Reese will lead the team in scoring. Juju did with 18. Jason bounced back. You said Queen would with 23. Can you fell back and said Rodney Rice. Jacoby Gillespie, back-to-back games of 9 assists. He gets 6 or more against Grand Canyon. He did not. 3 assists. Both you guys bounced back. Seldon Miguel leads the team in threes made. He did. He was 3 for 3. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said Rodney Rice will put more up. And make them. Jordan Geronimo scores 5 or more points. He did not. He had 2. Ken, you bounce back. Jason, you fell back.
DHS legacy game.
Well,
huge.
You said 4 points for Geronimo. He had 2. DHS makes a layup and will miss some too. He misses more layups than he makes. He made every shot he put up against Grand Canyon. It was the legacy game. Maryland covers a 10.5-point spread. They did, and then some. Both you guys bounce back. Maryland will make the Sweet 16. They did. Ken even said they will play Colorado State and then play Florida. So, Ken, nice job.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Jason, you said bounce back. Maryland will, but Damon Evans won't, which that was right on. That was right on. Duke, 32.5-point favorites against Mount St. Mary's. It covered.
They did.
Jason, you said the Mount loses by under 30. Ken, you bounced back. And you said it could be a 40 burger, and it was
a 40 burger.
It was a 40 burger.
You know what's
burger.
Funny about that? I did bet the Mount from Mount Mohegan Sun. I took them to cover.
He hedged.
I hedged on my bounce back fallback. My buddy Tony and I, we both took the Mount. It was ugly.
Illinois, 3.5-point favorite against Xavier. They covered. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said Illinois would lose by 3.5. Michigan State, 18.5-point favorite against Bryant. They did cover that. Jason, you fell back. Keep this under 15. Ken, you bounce back. Yeah. And last one.
I did hit a Big Ten parlay that night. Michigan State part of that.
And last one, Oregon, 6.5-point favorite against Liberty. Ken, you bounce back. Jason, you fell back. Said Liberty wins outright. Oregon won big.
Yes, they did.
So this is probably the biggest total in bounce back, fallback history. Ken, 12. Jason, 9.
Wow.
So let's get
field goal
to this week. Julian Reese got another double-double on Sunday. He gets another double-double against Florida, Ken.
You know what, Bone? Juju is it was so huge for them down the stretch. And if he can just prevent like those situations where he gets too far under the basket, which he did a couple times against Colorado State, and he's so good at the foul line now, save for the blip against Grand Canyon, I'm going to bounce back on that, Bone.
Jason?
Yeah. Potentially his last game is a Terp. I think he'll be
always skewing negative.
I think he'll be fired up. It's skewing negative. It's the reality of the situation.
He also
it's
could
a
go
do
to
or
the,
die situation.
It also could be that they could play in the Elite Eight. One, two,
three. Could be he his could. Fourth to last.
It could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used my finger.
Good, nice job.
Thank you.
The points part of it, I keep seeing a 9, but I'm going to – maybe that's because it's part of a 19.
Yes. I like what you're saying there.
Maybe. Like Bone, I'll say 11 points, 13 rebounds.
That is a bounce back for those at home.
Driving and, can't write it down. Yes.
Put it in your Google Notes like the Bone does.
Yes. Save
it forever.
A Terp will score 20 or more points. We haven't seen that in the two NCAA tournament games. 20 or more. You get the field.
I'm going to say Derek. Yeah. I'm going to say Derek Queen leads them with 18 points.
It's a fallback. Derek Queen... 18. Ken?
You know what, Bone? I was thinking Queen as well, but I think he has 22.
Oh! Queen with 22. Hey, Derek Queen, we've been seeing him pull from beyond the arc lately.
Yeah, hitting threes.
Derek Queen hits another three. Just one. Ken?
I hate when he shoots them, but he did hit a couple against Colorado State. This is more out of want than need. I'm going to say fallback on that.
Fallback. Okay. Jason?
I think he attempts three, makes one.
That is a bounce back. Mm-hmm. Attempts three, makes
always looking out for the people
one.
At home. But.
Yes. He doesn't say outright. Yeah, so he doesn't. I gotta let people know. One of the guards lead the Terps in scoring. That has not happened. Queen or Juju have led them at scoring in three straight games. Jason?
I thought he was first on this one. It doesn't matter because I'm already on the record saying Derek Queen will lead them with 18 points.
Okay, fall back, Derek Queen.
And like Jason, I'm always already on the record saying Queen will lead them with 22, so I will fall back.
Maryland covers the 6.5-point spread. Ken, not wins, but they cover.
What we know about Maryland, Bone, they play close games.
They do.
So I'm going to bounce back on that.
Florida by 8.
Oh, come on. Florida by 8.
It's on brand.
It is. Alabama covers the 5.5-point spread against BYU. Jason.
I'll say Bama 88, BYU 79.
That's a cover.
79. That is a cover. That is a bounce back.
BYU is sneaky good, and if they stop hitting guys in the junk, they won't get ejected. But I think Alabama, they got too many athletes. I'm going to say bounce back. They cover.
Duke covers the 8.5-point spread against Arizona. Ken.
Whew. Old friend Caleb Love. Isn't that Caleb Love? There's a lot of loves. Caleb Love, who used to be at Carolina, pretty sure was on that Carolina team that beat Duke in the Final Four a couple years ago. Arizona's a weird team. I think Duke is playing the best basketball right now at the moment. I'm going to take Duke to cover. Bounce back.
Blue Devils 85. Wildcats 71.
Blowout.
That is a bounce back. And the last game on Thursday, Texas Tech covers the 5.5-point spread against Arkansas. Jason.
Texas Tech 79. Arkansas Razorbacks
69
for the Buckeyes.
Oh, it's a bounce back. Ken?
I think Texas Tech wins. But you know what, Bon? I'm going to say that Arizona covers. So that's a fallback. Excuse me, Arkansas.
Yeah.
I got my A's mixed up. By the way, there was a funny tweet when Arkansas played Kansas in round one. It just said the loser would have to pronounce their state the way the winner did. So if Arkansas won, so Kansas would now be Kansas. But if Kansas won, it would be Arkansas. But it didn't work out that way. Alas, they're spelled the same if you don't know. Coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast. The Ravens have themselves a new corner. Who is it? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan. Ravens have a new cornerback. His name is Chidobe Awuzie. Did I say that correctly?
Awuzie.
Oh, the IE is two syllables. Awuzie, drafted by the Cowboys, then played some time in Cincinnati, including playing in a Super Bowl. Had a really good year for them, their Super Bowl year. Signed a 3-year, $36 million deal with the Titans last year, and they released him after 1 year. They still owe him $7.5 million. He is signing what is reported a 1-year league minimum deal with the Ravens. This smells like a very Ravens kind of signing.
Yeah, look, he's still a young free agent. I mean, remember, Asante Samuel is the guy I've been looking at.
Yeah.
A different banged up former really good corner who's probably going to cost more than this. I like this kid's game a lot before he got hurt in Cincinnati. I liked him in Dallas. I liked the signing for Cincinnati. He was great first year in Cincinnati. He hasn't been the same guy since. I was surprised he did as well as he did in free agency last year. I think you can move him around a little bit if you need to. He could be insurance in the slot. He could be insurance on the boundary. I know he's a smart kid. I don't know where his health is at this point in time and how much durability is going to be a problem moving forward. But we all thought they would add a veteran corner. And this is as no to low risk as it gets.
It's the vet minimum deal. There's no risk at all. And Tennessee's still footing the bill. $7.5 million guaranteed his way. So it makes a lot of sense because this guy does have a lot of upside. But like you said, Jason, he blew out his knee in Cincinnati in 2022. He was healthy for the most part in 23, and then last year he was limited to just 8 games due to a groin injury, so you're just banking on a bounce-back year from Awuzie, but no harm, no foul if he gets hurt again.
He's a depth piece. I mean, look, now we know that sometimes injuries come in droves, and so we say he's a depth piece, and with this team, unfortunately, they lose one corner, they tend to lose three. But he's a young veteran who might still have some upside, depending on, again, the durability part of this whole equation. But I do think there's some versatility there. He understands this division. He's familiar with teams in this division. He's familiar with quarterbacks in this division. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. That you'll see a little bit of this stuff happen over the next few weeks because there's some teams that would rather go into the draft just checking a few more boxes so we don't feel like we push for a corner here. Let's just get, if the price is this cheap, yeah, it'd be cheaper maybe a little bit, slightly after the draft, but let's just do it now so we've got something in our back pocket. So all things being equal, we go best player available.
And I think we all expect them to take at least one corner.
They're still going
to
draft
these 10 corners. Yeah.
Yeah,
they'll still take a corner or two. They'll still sign corners as priority free agents, but
because Jalen Armour-Davis is never healthy, and TJ Tampa had a redshirt year last year. Don't really know what to expect out of him. Obviously, the arrow is pointing up on Nate Wiggins. Marlon Humphrey's coming off the best year of his career, but they need some more depth.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, assuming he can stay on the field, even though we thought Tre'Davious White gave them much more than we ever thought he would, this guy's better than Tre'Davious White at this point, isn't he? Assuming
if he can,
on the field.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued by it. It makes sense. It's a box worth checking before the draft.
It is interesting that this guy got the money he got. It shows you how valuable corners are. What we saw with Brandon Stevens, the money he still got this offseason. Awuzie getting $36 million from the Titans, coming off an injury-marred kind of season with the Bengals, still got paid.
I mean, there's a little part of me that's like, well, you know, Denard couldn't get this going in Tennessee. You know what I mean? Like, he damaged goods?
Missed half the year.
But that's sort of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're willing to eat it as a sunk cost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
That's like at a position that we're just talking about is always a position to need and where guys routinely do a little better than we thought, including Awuzie a year ago. I just wonder if there's red flag.
Sure.
Medically or something else.
But, and follow my logic here, that's a Titans team that fires the coach and GM every other year. Maybe this was a decision made above Denard's pay grade.
Sure.
Because there's so much nonsense going on down there.
You will never hear me defend that ownership.
Like every other year, the GM's gone or the coach is gone, it seems. So, like, this might have been a decision that Denard had nothing to do with.
Maybe.
Is it possible? That's all I'm saying.
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a clown show going on down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
But it's a two GMs in 3 years?
Yes.
And in between that, they fired Vrabel.
Yes.
So it's
correct.
Like, so, yeah, it ain't good. It ain't good.
No, they're not well run.
Hey, Bill Ripken's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. At 4:30, we're going to talk about Grayson Rodriguez, whose injury around the elbow seems to be moving. But coming up next, we go to the Maryland Terrapins and Walt Williams. His jersey's in the rafters at the Xfinity Center. We'll get his thoughts on Derek Queen's shot. And the Terps are chances against Florida. We talk to Walt next here on The Fan.